Welcome to the Almost Awesome Esports. I'm your host, Ben, with Tyron as my co-host tonight. How are you tonight, Tyron?
Fucking up.
Almost Awesome is here to bring you the trending esports news over the past week or so. So for those who don't have the time or simply did not know about it, tonight's episode was introduced by Progress's New Horizon, which is part of an album to tribute to the late Iwata. With that out of the way, I leave you with Tyron for this week's one-minute quickie and then to start off the e-news.
Thank you, Ben. So this week we've changed up the format a little bit. The one-minute quickie, I'll be asking you a set of questions, Ben.
Alrighty, let's do this.
You ready? So
yep.
We've got the first question. LoL or Dota 2?
League of Legends for sure.
Would you rather someone AFK or feed?
Oof, AFK, it's hard because when people feed, it's only assisting the enemy team, where if they AFK, it's only just a handicap to you.
Mid or top?
Oh, I hate mid lane. I honestly hate mid lane. It is my worst lane for sure, so I'm going to have to say top lane.
PlayStation or Xbox?
Xbox, hands down. I'm not a big fan of PlayStation. Got nothing against it, just my games are all on Xbox.
Mario or Luigi?
Oh, Mario.
Oh, come on, bandwagon.
I like Luigi, but yeah, you know what? I'm going to change my answer. I'm going to go Luigi. Fuck Mario.
How do you like your steak?
Medium rare.
And favorite YouTube channel?
Oh, at the moment, Funhouse.
What's that? Never heard of that one.
Funhouse, it was the old Machinima team known as Inside Gaming, and they pretty much got the shits with it and said, you know what, we want to start doing our own stuff. So Machinima gave them the boot, really, and now with Rooster Teeth, which gave them their own show that they can do anything they fucking want.
Okay, nice. Anyway, with that, let's get straight into the League of Legends news. So Spirit and Gamsu are set to join Fnatic to replace Huni and Rainover in top and jungle. Of course, Fnatic is still looking for a support to replace the recently lost Yellowstar. Quas was suspended from Team Liquid. A few days later after this, he announced his retirement. Because of this, Liquid pulls out of IEM Cologne and are being replaced by Dignitas. Their main reason was, of course, to finalize their rosters before the start of the LCS. They will join C9, Fnatic, QG Reapers, EVA, and H2K. Last week we mentioned that the possibility of Yellowstar joining TSM. This week it was actually confirmed. What have you got to say on that one, Ben?
It wasn't really much of a surprise, to be honest, because there was a bit of teasing going on with TSM as they put up on the website for jerseys that you could actually buy a Yellowstar jersey. Now, it wasn't confirmed at the time that Yellowstar was coming over to TSM, but I think it was pretty mindset that that's the move that was going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. I think there were also a few teasers from some of the players posting things on Twitter, like Green Moon.
Just making funny puns here and there.
Of course. EasyHoon, one of the main mid laners for SKT in the last World Championship, has recently signed with VG Gaming for a massive $850,000 American dollars. He quotes, one of his main reasons for wanting to leave is the fact that fans really didn't want to see him and simply wanted more Faker. One key example he provided for this in one of his interviews was the fact that after two games in a best-of-five series, he got replaced with Faker, and all the fans were cheering, and he heard his name nowhere. He felt rather depressed, which I'm sure you would too there.
As you would. Yeah, I understand where he comes from with that. I mean, Faker being an all-star player, everyone's just jumping at the Faker bandwagon for sure, where he's probably a bit in the dark. As a team, they all perform well, but I suppose it's personal preference at the end of the day.
And finally, we have All-Stars this weekend. We're speaking about Faker. Faker will be in action for the Korean All-Stars team. One of the most anticipated games is Faker versus Froggen in the first round, as we saw last week with Froggen saying he will fucking wreck that kid.
That was pretty funny. There was a bit of a hype situation going on, and as much as they trash talk, they're still good friends at the end of the day. All right, over to Dota 2. For those who have not heard, Cloud9 last week sadly released that their Dota 2 team, after the transition of one of their fellow teammates, 1437, to Digital Chaos, has now been disbanded. Taryn, I can't make of anything of this decision. What's your input to this move by C9?
To me, all it shows is that C9 preferences LoL over Dota.
Yeah, it's strange. Like, there was nothing really wrong with the C9 team. It was just they probably didn't perform hand-in-hand with each other, and maybe a bit more practice for the next competition would have been desired, but No, they just completely wiped the slate. So the team already suffered a loss after dismissing key player Ritsu due to a report of bad behaviour and past indiscretion that led up to this moment. Recently, C9 was knocked out of the Frankfurt Majors in the lower bracket by rival team The Alliance. After the defeat, Digital Chaos swept in to pick up the broken pieces, which led to 1437's move. Cloud9 has yet to announce this permanent decision or whether they'll reopen a Dota team in the near future. Fnatic's performance over the last season has been an all-time low as they did not have a strong fall season. They qualified for the ESL, won New York 2K15, the Nanyang Championships and the Frankfurt Majors, but they finished in last place in all of them. So as you may have suspected, it was time for Fnatic to shake up the whole team roster. And who wore the black and orange jersey, right? Well, mine and many others' shock veteran Carry Blackup was released from Fnatic's roster. Blackup has had a strong, consistent career and when presented the opportunity, will carry. When looking back to the statistics of Blackup, currently sits at one of the highest players on the current patch, currently 7th place in the ladder for GPM, the 11th highest KDA, and the least deaths of any player. What do you think Fnatic had in their mind when making this decision?
Probably either wasn't fitting with the team or just wasn't gelling well. He'll definitely find another team with those sort of skills.
Blackup has since then come out with an announcement that his time in Dota 2 has not come to an end just yet. He plans to branch out to other teams and keep his carnage rolling. Turner and WMG's upcoming televised CSGO League has just announced a name, and with that name also comes a serious prize pool of a whopping $1.2 million prize pool. With this announcement video, their organization revealed E-League's plot. Over the course of two 10-week seasons, 15 teams will compete for the prize pool of $1.2 million that will begin of summer 2016. So for us Aussies, since it's going to be hosted in America, that will be coming to winter for us.
Yeah, hopefully it finds a place on TV here. I found it really awkward, though, that for some reason they had Shaquille O'Neal make the announcement at the Game Awards.
It was a bit awkward, but I suppose someone's got to do the job. And I found it funny, in Australia not too long ago, we've already had some televised CSGO, haven't we?
Yeah, we recently had, I can't remember the name of the tournament, but it was a competition down in Melbourne. We had Virtus Pro and Cloud9, if I remember correctly, come over here. And the final game between Virtus Pro and Team Immunity was actually put on Fox Sports 1 with quite a bit of hate. Not quite as much as over in America, where, you know, one of the journalists said he would quit his job if he was forced to commentate on esports. But people weren't happy.
E-League Games has yet to be aired, and it will be aired on TBS Fridays during the season. A schedule and venue is yet to be announced. More Fnatic news this week as boys in black and orange take out rivals Luminosity 2-1. The odds seemed against Fnatic as they had to bounce back from a game 1 loss to take an end to Luminosity's miracle run. The game was now biting in the first half of train, ending to a 8-7 to Fnatic.
It's good to see Fnatic back on top. They were, at the start of the year, they were definitely the team to beat, but now they've sort of fallen off a bit, and it's just good to see them back on top.
The rest of the match went back and forth as the Brazilians fought just as hard to claim the title for their own. Sadly, they did not come to that conclusion, and congratulations to Fnatic for this victory. For those who did not tune in to last Sunday, Heroes of Storm was streamed in 4K at the 4K streaming Heroes show match. That was pretty interesting for how this is going because, well, for one, we've never seen 4K streams before. For two, for someone just to pick it off straight off the bat and just go, hey, we're doing it. Let's throw it out there. Hitbox CEO on 4K Heroes, we choose Heroes of Storm because the game looks incredible and we love the community. It's good to see that someone's picking it up and throwing it out there. It's a trending thing starting to happen with 4K coming to shelves and TVs and monitors, and now we're starting to see it in streams.
It's definitely good to see that it's just not another gimmick, sort of like 3D was.
Definitely. Alrighty, and now with that out of the way, last week Taryn got the pleasure of interviewing Michael, team manager for Legacy Esports. How do you think it went?
Yeah, it was definitely a good interview. It provided a good insight as to how the team runs. I'll leave you with that interview now.
Hello.
joining us this week, we have Michael Carmody, player manager from Legacy Esports in Australia. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and your involvement in the organisation.
Once upon a time, I started a business, and then I started a second business, and then I got bored of starting businesses. So I decided that I would take this hobby of mine, and since esports was becoming such a big thing, I would see whether I could take my business capabilities and play around, in a sense, and combine my hobbies and my, I guess, my professional life. So I posted a now semi-infamous post on the Cybergamer forum saying, "Hi, I'm a business dude and I'm looking for a team," and promptly ripped my inbox and got hit by about 4,000 people all wanting to meet a business guy. I then took a bit of time to filter through and survey the landscape, so to speak, and I started to get a feel for who were just a bunch of people who were hopeful and who were legitimate organizations. I then was reached out to by a gentleman called Minky Whale, and I said, well, again, I didn't particularly know anyone all that well, and we chatted and we theorized and we spitballed, and I realized that he was actually in an OPL team, probably the top of the top at for League of Legends, and they had a few interesting business issues that popped up about the time that Minky and I were chatting. And I offered some advice, and Minky thought that the advice wasn't completely stupid. And they invited me on to help out with a few problems, and then I was invited on to become the manager for Legacy Esports.
Beautiful. So you manage both the CSGO and the League of Legends team?
I manage the organization from a business perspective, so I don't have any significant control over the player rosters. I don't decide who plays top lane or who plays mid or who's the entry fragger or who's the AWPer. In a sense, the teams control the rosters themselves. My job is more around making sure they get to tournaments on time, making sure they meet their media obligations, their sponsor obligations, making sure the bills get paid, making sure the TeamSpeak servers are running. Basically, anything other than killing people on a digital arena is my responsibility.
Okay, cool. So with the recent success of Legacy Esports, both in League of Legends with the OPL coming second, and in CSGO with the team making their first appearance overseas, is Legacy actually looking to expand outside these two games, or are they just simply staying with the two for now?
So primarily, and hopefully your listeners know roughly the history of Legacy. They were the former League of Legends team for Avant-Garde, known as Avant-Garde Extension, and due to management disagreements, you know, went out on their own. And so, in essence, Legacy was always about the League of Legends team, by the League of Legends team, and owned by the League of Legends players. One of the interesting things is I keep being introduced as the owner of Legacy Esports. I have no ownership stake. I am just the manager. But it's always amusing when I see that the concept. People can't seem to understand that the owner and the manager are not the same thing. But the League of Legends team was purely owned and operated. And in a sense, they were looking at other organizations. They were looking at Direwolves. They were looking back at Avant-Garde. They were looking at the Chiefs and saying, oh, they've got all these other teams, and maybe we should do the same. And I initially was hesitant. Look, let's do one thing really well before we, you know, end up trying to hire and fire teams and have a perpetually rotating door of things. And I wanted to make sure that if we're going to take on any other teams, we could do it as well as what we did our League of Legends team. And so we waited, and I pushed it off, and I was hesitant, and I was stubborn. But I was doing my due diligence. I was doing my research. And CSGO was something that we were looking at, seemed to have a reasonable amount of market impact. And there was a gentleman, and again, this is one person persistently talking with me. So Mizu, at the then Animal Squad, who just persistently kept talking to me and asking my advice and talking and how would we make this work and what would we need to do to come under the Legacy banner. And he was, and mind you, there had been other teams and even some teams that had been moderately persistent, but Mizu wouldn't go away. So we kept talking, and I'd gotten to the point where I could make a valid business case. We can look after them. We have enough organization capacity to take on a second team, and we'll think about doing this. And the plan at the time was to be very, very low impact And we were just going to announce that Legacy had taken on a CSGO team and that we're going to be attending PAX at the CGPL finals. Very low key. Let's make sure we get this second team thing under control. Let's be very careful, very slow. And then the bastards went and qualified for DreamHack. So it sort of threw my plans out the door. So to go back to your original question, is there any other teams coming? Not anytime soon. It is not out of the question, but you won't be, well, unless something gets changed from our current plans, we have enough on our schedule that there won't be another Legacy team probably before mid to late next year.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. You know, you don't want to have a too big a roster like some of the major organizations, especially as a small organization that can't support it.
Well, if we want to do it properly. We didn't want to do it just for the sake of doing it.
Oh, for sure. Just quickly, with the Oceanic region, what do you think of that at the moment? Do you think it's building, getting stronger, or sort of stabilizing at a level where it's going to stick, if you know what I mean?
Oh, definitely growing. Definitely growing in a fairly substantive way. But the thing that we need to probably realize is that we're sitting here with a population 1/10 of the US, you know, 1/20 of Europe, and 1/100 of Asia. So while growth in Australia will be big and will grow, you can't sit there and go, will we be the same as NA or EU or anywhere in Asia? Well, no. We just don't have the population base. We don't have the population density. So it'll get bigger than what we have here, but its ceiling will be significantly lower just because, hey, Australia, we're a great country. I love living here, but we don't have the market share of, you know, the other regions.
Yeah, that makes sense. So where, in fact, do you think we are going from here? Do you think that overall in these major world global competitions we can be a competitor by doing things sort of like what Renegades have done in CSGO, moving over into these larger regions to get better?
That, I would never begrudge Renegades doing what they did. And in a sense, if our CSGO team had the same opportunity, we would do everything we can to enable it. But in a sense, I get this. So my background's in the IT industry, and we have this sort of concept in Australia where if you have good technology, you have to go to Silicon Valley, you have to go to California to be able to make a big company, because we can't do big companies here in Australia, which is, to my mind, utter crap, because it's, you can grow any company you want anywhere, and in a digital age, you can run an international organization from anywhere. So would I begrudge Renegades? No, I can. They can do it. Do I reckon that's a good path to go? In my heart, no, I don't think it is. In my head, finances speaks a whole lot of sort of, you know, another language. So I would like to see, I would love to have seen Renegades stay in Australia, but due to the laws of physics, they can't play the European and the NA teams they needed to without latency that would destroy the game. And so they're forced overseas. But as an organization that should have stayed in Australia, I would have loved to have seen that happen. Does the business work? Probably not. But we see where these go. So my idea at the moment is, if you have a look and look at a globe, and this is where I think is the interesting sort of setup, Australia has 1 billion people in the same time zone. If the Asian market wants to watch NA or EU content, it's time zone shifted. But they can watch live Australian content. And in reverse, if you need English language broadcast of Asian content, Australia is great for doing that. So you don't have to keep your NA casters or whatever up to that sort of setup. So I think we have a very unique position because of where we are in the world to leverage the Asia connection. How that actually works for an esports org, I'm working on that. Let's just leave it at that. Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. But if we look a little off the organization for a minute, and more specifically on you, do you follow any of these other international leagues at all?
League of Legends, yes. That's, I guess, my one true love. And how do I put it? It's probably maybe not inappropriate drug reference, but my cocaine habit doesn't allow for a heroin addiction.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So league takes up, you know, that's where my heart is. But I'm a real-time strategy. I love my StarCraft. I love that. And I am rapidly learning CSGO. Look, I'll be really honest. I didn't even know what an eco round was 2 months ago. So this has been a very rapid learning experience for me on the CSGO front. And to be honest, I'm loving it. Like, I've been watching the Counterpit League, which our boys will be playing in a couple of days. But the first couple of rounds have always opened. And I'm quite happy that I can actually follow a CSGO game now. And I can see the ebbs and flows and the changes and the strategies that come with that. So I'm enjoying it. I'm learning it. Could I watch 15 sports? No. But I think I could probably keep one or two good ones and maybe a three or four ones that I keep a cursory eye on.
Yeah, that's sort of the same with a lot of people. You know, you can't keep your eye on sort of 30 different esports.
Yes.
With the growing sort of, there's that many of them, you can't watch all of them. But just back on Legacy for a second, what are the major goals for next year? Obviously you have, you know, the OPL, a lot of the CSGO competitions. What are your sort of major goals? What do you want to achieve as an organization next year?
So it is a little bit of an open secret. We haven't announced it, but it's going ahead. But tomorrow I'm flying to Sydney to do house inspections. For a sponsor-organized gaming house for our League of Legends team. Now, we're not officially announced this, and you can tell your listeners that they're in on a real secret, but it's mostly known amongst all the OPL teams at the moment that we're doing this. And as I said, all the finances are done. I literally just got to go sign a lease agreement, which, again, I'm flying to Sydney tomorrow. So next year is all about the gaming house. It's all about the content generation. It's all about giving the guys an actual full-time professional platform to succeed on. That is, in a sense, if we're going to be having all of this investment, all of this opportunity, and the gaming house for the League of Legends guys, our acceptable success next year is first. It's go big or go home sort of time. So, look, we finished first in 2014, equal third in the first half of 2015, and second in the most recent split. Second, for the level of investment and engagement we're doing, would require a little bit of a rethink. Look, it's not a bad thing. I'll take second over anything else. But for the amount of effort that we are planning to gear up for next year, we're doing it for first.
For sure. I'm honestly hoping that we can see someone take on Chiefs and we don't have a near-perfect run right through the season.
Well, yeah, near-perfect. I'm glad we took a game off them at the grand final. Look, I'll give you a short story about that if you don't mind me divulging too much. So I'm at Luna Park and understand this is my first major event as manager. And it is a big event and Riot has gone all out and we're very impressed. And it is a big stage and the players love it and they love being in LAN. And there was, how would I put it, the coach that we had at the time was helping us with pick and bans, and we're working through it, and there was a decision made in top lane that was designed to make Minky comfortable, but probably wasn't the best team comp at the time. And so we lost that game because we just didn't play to the Chiefs team comp, and it put the players a little bit on tilt. So game one's gone. Game two also goes down, and I'm sitting there going, oh, great, we're going to be 3-0 on stage. It's going to be horrible. The guy's headspace is over and all the rest. So I go backstage, and Tim Carbon, who's our team captain, says that there is no way this is going to happen. And you can insert some suitable Dutch expletives in there, but I'll be polite for the most part. And we are going to win this, and this is how we're going to do it. And he called out the strategy, and he basically described how the game was going to run for the first 5 minutes, and he inspired the team. He literally grabbed the team who were feeling down, who were feeling bad, and he grabbed it by the scruff of the neck. He put himself on a carry jungle like Lee Sin, and he said, damn it, we're going to win this, and he did. And it was Tim going in, screw you all, by sheer force of will and charisma, I am going to win this game. And it was just inspirational to see a leader and a captain and who can influence the game and his teammates to that. And he single-handedly dragged that team into Chiefs' first defeat for that entire season. So it really gave me a lot of respect for Tim and his role as a captain. But it was inspirational, and it made me really want to say, I want to be in Legacy. I want to give these guys every opportunity to succeed, and if that means I'm dealing with the paperwork and the contracts and the finances and finding them sponsors and doing what I can do as a business, just so I can watch them as a team kick ass when everything else looks like it's not going to work, hell, sign me up for that ride any day of the week.
I'm honestly just hoping that, yeah, next season it's not just a complete blowout and we see a real competitive fight there for not only second, third and fourth, but for that top spot.
I'm feeling pretty positive, given what I know of the orgs and a lot of the rosters that are running around at the moment. The OPL scene is definitely becoming a lot more competitive.
Anyway, with that, I think we might get close to closing it there, but I've just got three quick questions here in a quick segment we call Either Either. So I'll give you two options and you just pick which one you prefer, really.
Does it involve 100 horse-sized ducks?
No, it does not.
Go ahead, sir.
So we've got TSM or CLG?
CLG, because I'd like double lift, so now I'm in a bind. look, I still think CLG. I always felt that they were a more relatable organisation.
Yeah, NA or EU, which is the more bigger powerhouse?
See, I don't know about who's better, but again, who do I enjoy watching? Look, XPeke in Origin was absolutely amazing. I would have given a body organ to see them win Worlds. So I'm a big fan of Origin from that point of view. But I think I'm still probably a little bit more heartbound on NA.
And then finally, in a game, would you prefer someone AFK or feed if you had to choose one of them?
AFK, definitely AFK. I have won 4v5s where the person's not there, but when someone's just fed 15 kills to the Katarina, it's like, shoot me.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Anyway, that about wraps us up. Whereabouts can we find you on the internet?
Well, you can find the organization's website is legacyesports.com.au, on Twitter at LegacyOce, that is Legacy OCE, and on Facebook on Legacy Esports LOL, which actually needs to be updated now that we have a CSGO team, but we'll work with that more than anything else. I believe we also do event Instagrams and various other sort of things, but our lovely social media lady of awesomeness, generally we'll put that out on the Twitter. If you follow us on the Twitter, you'll find us everywhere.
No worries. Anyway, that about wraps us up. Thank you for the interview, Michael.
No problem, sir, and thank you.
Have a good one.
Well, thank you very much to Michael for that interview. And now we come on to our main topic of the week. Taryn, can you take us away with that?
So our topic this week is where to next for esports. So currently we see League of Legends and Dota 2 and Counter-Strike sitting on top of the Twitch streams usually. You have, you know, League sitting at close to 100,000 viewers most of the time. And then you have events like the IEM World Championships where that spikes up to, you know, 500,000-600,000. When you add in other streaming services like, you know, YouTube, Azubu, all that sort of stuff, you end up with 5, 6, 7 million people watching an event. Where do you think esports is going in the next 5 years? Do you think games like LoL and Dota 2, the MOBA series, will be on top? Or do you think they'll suffer the same sort of decline, sort of like StarCraft has had?
Well, if I direct this kind of question back to just gaming in general, we've watched it pick up in just, what, 20-year period from being a small little 2D pixel on the screen to a multi-million dollar corporation where people are throwing games into a competitive sporting scene. If that's happened in so little time, over the five next year, we're going to see a huge, huge improvement. We're going to see more commentating being thrown into it. We're going to see more games being thrown into it. We're going to see more companies jumping onto the bandwagon. We're going to just see more of everything happening. And the way that's progressing, it's going great, especially with streaming services such as Twitch, YouTube now jumping back onto the streaming. 4K streaming, like we mentioned before, now starting to become a thing. It's only going up, and it's only going to bring the economy up as it's going to provide more jobs. It's going to get more interest, more players, more teams, more everything. It's just a inflating topic.
Just back into the games for a second. Do you think in 5 years' time we'll still be watching MOBAs like League of Legends and Dota 2, or do you think we'll move towards something else?
League of Legends definitely will still progress each season. They tend to update and add something new to the playing field. As for Dota, I'm not too sure. I mean, if you just look at the streamings, definitely League of Legends is on top, followed by maybe Dota or another MOBA or such as that. So for League, it's easier to say, sure, we're going to see them in 5 years' time. But for Dota, not so much. CSGO, we will see, unless Steam decides, or not Steam, Valve, I should say. Valve decides to throw out a new CS.
I kind of don't think in 5 years' time we'll be sitting down to watch a League game. I really think we'll be watching something completely different. I mean, people would have been saying the same for StarCraft 5 years ago. When StarCraft 2 first came out, everyone was, you know, on the hype train. There were hundreds of thousands of people watching competitions for that. And slowly but surely it's been declining until now it's somewhere down in 10,000 to 15,000 people watching it usually on Twitch.
But when you say that, StarCraft, was it throwing out new content? Was it trying to bring in new people? I mean, Riot as a company, they've done really well. They've brought it, for firstly, free to play. Secondly, they've engaged with community events such as that. Thirdly, I wouldn't usually use this as a point, but part of the Great Barrier Reef in the Queensland region has actually been brought out by Riot as they plan to build a artificial reef featuring, I think it was Nautilus that got made the champion.
Yeah, Nautilus won the vote, yep.
So it's just things like that that's trying to engage people, because they're not making just a virtual commitment, but they're making a physical commitment. And people will travel to go see it because it's such a recognized thing, where StarCraft was really, it was just something on the computer, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess. I think one thing Riot has done really well, though, is they've, unlike StarCraft, they've limited the amount of Koreans you can have on an international team. So in StarCraft, it was sort of, even now, StarCraft 2, 8 of the, well, 9 of the top 10 players will be from Korea, which is something that just doesn't happen in League of Legends too much, because you have these smaller leagues such as the NA and EU LCS where there's things brought in to limit the amount of Koreans or Chinese or players from other regions on your team.
And it's great because they're giving other people a chance. It's like saying, here's the Olympics, but here's everyone from China because they seem to do better than people from Australia, from people from Canada, so on and so on. It's literally going, okay, we've got some good talent here, but we've only got a certain amount. Let's give somewhere else a chance to throw out what talent they've got.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But another game that's rather big is Hearthstone. So many people watch Hearthstone competitively. Why?
Well, Hearthstone is lore from World of Warcraft. So for one, you're going to get a big audience from World of Warcraft taking interest into it. And for secondly, it's a card game. Believe it or not, a lot of people are into card games, and now it's come on a competitive scene. A lot of people are jumping on it.
Yeah. I mean, I watch quite a lot of Hearthstone just because it's the sort of thing where I can, you know, put it on the TV while doing something else and then look back in 10 minutes and still understand what's happening. Unlike games like, you know, StarCraft, where if you look away for 10 minutes and come back, you won't know what the fuck's happened.
Exactly, and it's something different. It's something new. It's something to throw into the open.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's really new. We've had card games for a while. You know, we've had competitive Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Magic. It's not new. It's just something, I don't, it's something fresh in this sort of, in this meta.
Hmm.
Like, the meta at the moment is everyone's, all these companies are trying to produce high-quality MOBA games. We've seen with Infinite Crisis, they came out with their main game mode was, like, Dominion from League of Legends. And that pretty much shut down within, I think it was up for a year, and then it just shut down. It was just dead because no one was playing it. But just speaking on that quickly, where do you think, what do you think the next main genre is going to be? I mean, 10 years ago we had real-time strategy games like the StarCraft, like the StarCraft 2, like the Age of Empires. At the moment we have the MOBAs, we've got the Smite, the Dota 2, the League of Legends, all that sort of stuff. Do you think games like, you know, Overwatch, Counter-Strike, I can't remember, there's another one by the guys who made Smite, I can't remember the name of it, but these first-person shooter MOBAs where it's sort of 5-on-5 with guns, which is sort of more strategic, do you think that's going to be the next big thing?
Well, once upon a time, back when Team Fortress 2 was released, a lot of people jumped onto it, but then League of Legends came around, Dota came around, Dota 2 came around, and that kind of threw up what they had going for them. But now we're seeing Overwatch coming through. It's only in beta at the moment, but we've already got teams getting signed up for it. We already have events, community events. They've yet to announce public events, but we have community events in the works. And it kind of looks like that's where we're progressing to, because there's a bandwagon coming towards. People are starting to jump on it as soon as they can. So as much as we are at the MOBA stage, I think we are going to progress into a FPS MOBA.
I mean, we can't really tell too much with Overwatch, especially with it just being in beta and sort of only really high-quality streamers and YouTubers having access to it. But definitely I see things like Counter-Strike with, you know, the TV league that we were talking about earlier coming to fruition with these major leagues just being such high-quality competition with high-quality production being just the major thing in the future.
And the thing is, the audience is there. It's already there. All it has to do is boost. I mean, you've got your diehard fans that's been there from day one, and then you've got your new people that's just come along and taken interest to it, and it's only going to grow. I mean, we've seen Counter-Strike around for how many years now? Yeah. And it's still a highly trending game today. And I feel League of Legends may be the same way, but then we're throwing in new games, fresh games. I wouldn't say fresh to the genre because, well, FPS MOBAs have been around for a long time, but not to the interest of many people.
Yeah, I mean, we do have other things. Like, there's, have you seen a game called Vainglory?
No, I haven't. Can you explain it to us?
It's pretty much a 3v3 MOBA on an iPad. It seems to be quite a big thing at the moment. But honestly, I don't think that sort of thing will be too competitive for too long. Competitive mobile gaming is not something I see taking off.
Well, you do say that, but at the same time, Hearthstone is available on your iOS and Android device.
Yeah, good point. I don't know. We'll see where it goes from here. But you were talking about Counter-Strike being around for, you know, 10-plus years. It's gone over, what is it, 3 or 4 different versions now?
It has, and even though Counter-Strike Go has been out for a while, it probably still will be a little bit longer before we start seeing or even hearing about another Counter-Strike.
Yeah, I think CSGO is here for quite a while. But speaking of CSGO, CSGO has our Player of the Week. Kenny S., one of the major players from Team Envious, took home Esports Player of the Year at the Game Awards this week, beating out people like Faker, Olofmeister, Samael, and PPD for the fan-selected award.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Almost Awesome Esports. I'd like to thank Michael, who gave up some of his precious time to talk to us this week. Taryn, where can we find you outside of this podcast?
You can find me on League at Taboo1108, on Steam at Mr. Inconsistent, on Twitter at TarynOwens108, hashtag fuck Konami.
And you can find myself at League of Legends at YRavenX, on the OCE servers, on Twitter at Synchro with an underscore. I probably will leave these in the description of the podcast for those who want to check it out. And now we leave you with New Horizon to outro this episode. And as always, stay awesome.